Hey, welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. It is the Power Rankings episode for football, and we are power ranking the teams following their Week 9 performances. And I think the word weak is fitting for certain teams here, Zach, because we have Zach here with us tonight instead of Kent. Kent is at a costume party tonight, so he said he could come on live from the costume party if I needed him, but I said, you know what? Take this night off. We'll get Zach in here. Zach, do you agree there were weak teams this week?
Well, I was going to say, I think there were a lot of guys dressed up as Ohio State players in Columbus today because they were, I don't know what team that was. Weak is a good definition for it. It was bad.
I guess you could say there are players dressed up as Ohio State players, or there were coaches dressed up as coaches. Like, you know, when I was younger, I went for a Halloween celebration or whatever, and I dressed up as an Ohio State coach. I'm wondering who was more fraudulent as a coach, me or the coaching that we saw from Ohio State today. Both not great,
No. Well, I mean, into that. Was Coach Day imitating himself? Because this is what we've seen for the past 4 years.
My theory is Coach Day has been trying to be John Cooper his entire career.
That's just, oof. That's fair. Yeah. I'll give that to you.
We got Philip here with us with the first comment. Hello, Philip says, quarterback controversy in Happy Valley. It's an interesting one, Zach. Bo Prabula came out, played very well. He did have a few miscues here and there. However, Drew Aller had his miscues of his own as well. But I felt like the offense did better than I predicted it probably would have with Bo Prabula in there. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think at first when he went down, I thought the team seemed a bit dejected. Like Drew Aller was really, you know, really struggling on the sideline. And the first couple series with him in, I was like, oh, this is not looking good. And then he really delivered from mid third quarter on, and running and throwing. I thought that was the thing that really surprised me. I thought Prabula, I knew that he would do a better job running the football and maybe opening up running lanes. But his ability to throw the ball, I mean, he made some tight window throws in this game. You know, he struggled a little bit with accuracy down the field, but the intermediate game, I thought he was really good. I thought his decision-making was phenomenal. Like, I think that was probably his biggest asset in the second half was his ability to make good decisions. And that really helped them. And of course the defense, I think if not for Jaden Reed, I'm curious how Penn State would have responded offensively, because I think that pick six really set the tone.
Yeah, that pick six seemed to be what kind of revitalized the entire team. You're correct. It did seem like there was a little bit of dejection when Drew Aller went out. And then when Jalen Reed gets that pick six, it was kind of like, all right, we're playing with house money now. Our defense isn't going to give anything up. And all our offense has to do is basically not turn the ball over and not put us in bad positions. And to Bo Prabula's credit, he did that, right? I mean, that was a good job by him. I've always felt like Bo seems more like a Sean Clifford, seems more like a old school Penn State quarterback. And I've always felt like that fits better in this Andy Kotelnicki offense. Now, I don't think you can bench Drew Aller. Drew Aller has been arguably the best quarterback in the Big Ten this season. I say arguably because I don't think he is, but he's put himself up there in the top three, top five conversation. However, you could argue this version of Bo Prabula works better with this offense than Drew Aller does. Now, I don't think, like I said, I don't think Prabula takes the starting position, but I do think there is a lot of good thoughts about the future after Drew Aller moves on with Bo Prabula coming in.
Yeah, I think two things I just point out. One is that I'm not sure how much time Drew Aller is going to miss, because it was, you know, the sack that he took, you know, it didn't look great, but I think I was surprised that he came out, and I'm like, I wonder how much of this was not just on the tackle, but maybe just it's a knee. He couldn't plant on it. Like I'm wondering if he's going to miss significant time. So we might figure out real soon whether Bo Pribula can keep doing this. I think the other thing is we have to remember that Wisconsin was not prepping for him. Like, certainly they were right. for packages, but I think particularly mobile quarterbacks, where you change your offensive attack a bit more, you can really get away with it in, you know, the game that it happens, because the defense doesn't necessarily prepare for that. Now, I'm sure they prepared for it some, but I'm curious what happens, I'd say, against Ohio State, but they looked, Ryan Day said the defense looked great. They did not look great today. I don't care what anybody says. I thought they lost contain too many times. I thought the corners still looked bad. So, like, maybe next week that it won't matter either, but I'm curious how Pribula, how defenses adjust to him in general.
Yeah. We'll definitely get to Ohio State, because there's definitely a conversation here about them and Penn State and Indiana we need to get to. I do want to address Phillip's next question really fast. He says, would Ryan Day be fired if he lost to Nebraska? I don't think he'd be fired. I think you have to let him finish out the season. But, I mean, at the end of the season, I think there would have been a very mutual parting of ways. Maybe Ryan Day takes an NFL quarterback coach position or something like that and moves on from there. Similar to what I think would happen if he loses to Penn State. Even if they get to the playoffs after the season, you see him move on or something like that. Now, if he loses to Penn State and Indiana, Ryan Day is... He is most definitely getting fired. You can't have, I mean, I think the number is a little ridiculous, but they did spend a lot of money on this roster, bringing all the guys back, bringing Caleb Downs, Jeremiah Smith, all these guys. If you go 9-3 with this roster, I don't care how strong the Big Ten is. Yeah. You can't come back to coach. You can't show your face in Columbus again. Not ever in your life. Not tomorrow, not ever. He would never be welcome back to Columbus.
Yeah. Well, not when Urban Meyer sits here and says this is the best roster he's ever seen.
Right.
Jim Tressel has said it. And granted, you get credit for the roster acquisition, but if you can't get this done, you're John Cooper. I think was that pre-show that you compared him to John? No, you said he was pretending to be John Cooper on this show. At some point, you are who you are. And what he's been was he did a good job of not letting Ohio State fall off a cliff when Ohio State lost a legendary coach, see Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer hasn't fallen off a cliff, but it's a significant difference in Alabama this year. So, like, really good job. But since then, like, honestly, he's a combination of Earl Bruce and John Cooper. If people know what that means, is that Earl Bruce was pretty good after Woody Hayes first left, and then he really petered off, and then he has Cooper's penchant of losing big games into Michigan.
Yeah. And I think Chad puts it best. He says OSU quarterback play was average at best. I just think OSU overall, their play was average at best. I think the defense didn't play consistently the entire game. I think he had some really good plays at times. I think they had like over 10 tackle for losses, which is great, but then you also had big explosive plays, so it was either feast or famine for the defense. And I know there was a lot of thought coming out of the Oregon game of, we need more pressure on the quarterback, we need more sacks. Well, here you go, this is what you got. You got more sacks, you got more pressure on the quarterback, but you also managed to let up more big plays and allow the other team to do more than what you would have liked for them to be able to do. So Brenton has a good question. He says, how strong is the Big Ten outside of the top four teams? Zach, are any of these teams outside of the top four ranked worthy for you? I would say Illinois is still ranked worthy just because they ran into a buzzsaw of Oregon, which is a very good team today. But are there any other teams that you think should be ranked in the top 25 outside of Illinois?
I think if Minnesota had not lost some early games,
They win that North Carolina game, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. If Minnesota played Ohio State today, I think Minnesota beats them.
I mean, if they played like they did today, sure.
Yeah. They well, that's really what I'm saying. Today. Yeah.
But they were also playing Maryland.
That's fair. But I'm just saying, like, Brosmer is really starting to heat up.
Yeah, and they got some really good wide receivers at Minnesota.
Yeah. Too. Now there's some late game injuries, which, speaking of mediocre coaching, yeah, I don't think so. Like, I think the top five, I think Illinois deserves to be ranked still. Like, you go to the number one team, like, you go to the number one team in the country, you go to their place. You shouldn't drop from 22 or 23 if you do that, even if you get beat by a few scores. Like, I think that was what everybody expected.
Yeah, I think if Wisconsin had beaten USC, they'd be ranked for sure. And I think they probably should have beaten USC. However, you know, they threw that game away in the second half. So you get what you get. I think if Iowa didn't lose to Michigan State, they would be ranked. But again, you get what you get. Really, at the end of the day, the story of the Big Ten this year is teams who dropped games they shouldn't have dropped, which is Minnesota, North Carolina, Wisconsin, USC, Iowa, Michigan State, Nebraska. Who'd Nebraska lose to? Indiana, Ohio State. Who was the other loss?
Illinois.
Yeah, Illinois. I don't know if you should have won that. Yeah, actually, you probably should have won that game.
Yeah, they should have won that
game. They had the chance there at the end. So you have that. Michigan probably should have beat USC, or not USC, Washington probably should have beat them, but, you know.
Yeah. I think the reality, JR,
I think this version of Michigan that we saw tonight against Michigan State, I think they beat Washington. I think the biggest mistake they ever made was they started cycling the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Three picks in one game for Davis Warren, which was his only three incompletions, got him yanked, and he wasn't allowed to go back in the game. I think that was the biggest miscue for this Michigan team all season, because this Michigan team we saw today against Michigan State was much, much better, not only because of Davis Warren, but how they utilized Alex Orji as well.
Totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree. I was going to say, I think part of what is strong in the league is the parity. Like, I think I'll lump Penn State and Ohio State into it. I think three through 14, like, could be a fun game any time. And,
Well, we had 7 through 13 on mine and 6 through 13 on yours be a blowout. So,
yeah. I think any team can rise up.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's we saw the 13th team beat the 6th or 7th team.
Right.
So if that can happen, then you can go down a few more slots and 14, 15 could give 5-4. A good game. So, all right, Zach, let's talk about our power rankings here a little bit. I'll let you go first. Let's go from worst to best. Let's do it that way. Go from the Purdue up to the Oregon, because we both agree on that.
Yeah. Purdue is Purdue. That's self-explanatory. I thought Northwestern would have more juice. And I mean, they had a lead. I think it was 7-5, because of course Iowa had 5 points at one point today. And then it was all Iowa, which I was surprised at how big the score was there. But yeah, I think just Northwestern, they're as bad as I think we thought they'd be. And I thought they might turn a corner and they didn't. Rutgers, similar. I think the injuries have killed them. And then go into USC, 11 PM Eastern kick. It's rough. It was going to be rough regardless. Yeah. I mean, it's 28-20 at one point, but they're in a lot of trouble. And the fact that they're below UCLA, and I think for both of us, signals that. I think UCLA is, you know, they've gotten a little bit better, obviously, by week, KDK. Maryland 14. I know people will be like, but Maryland beat USC. Yeah, but
that's not the Maryland team you're going to see every week, though. It's kind of like Northwestern. Like, Northwestern gave Indiana a good game for three quarters. That's not the Northwestern team we're seeing every week, though.
Right. And it's still they're still being coached by Mike Locksley. So there's a
fair point.
So I have Maryland 14, USC 13. Again, like, they had a you know, good win against Rutgers, but it's no offense, but it's Rutgers and they're 4-4.
Yeah, it doesn't move you up very high.
Yeah. Michigan State is also 4-4. And I expected them to beat Michigan today, and they could have. And well, so
they should have, because Michigan missed a field goal and Michigan screwed up multiple times. They gave Michigan State the opportunity to win that game. Heck, they almost got the onside kick. You could argue they probably should have gotten that onside kick, and you know, they didn't. I mean, they had the opportunities to, they couldn't capitalize.
Yeah. Washington, if Will Rogers doesn't throw picks, which I know is a big if, that game in Bloomington's very, like, could have been very different.
Is that first one on him, though? That was kind of a bizarre.
Well, it's really not on Rod. Maybe I should rephrase that. If Jed Fish had a better and more disciplined team, aka if you coached better, mediocre coaching, maybe that should be our first t-shirt. Big Ten, home of the mediocre coaches.
That might go against our narrative of when we trash the SEC. So maybe not. we gotta build our narratives here, Zach.
We could have Kurt Cignetti on there just smoking a, you know, something that says mediocre coaches. I don't know.
Right.
But I think 11 through 6 in particular is frustrating as all get out, because it's like, I have Michigan over Washington, but Washington beat Michigan. It's like, what the heck? I have Nebraska 10, but I just think any of these teams can beat each other. So I think Washington has looked very kind of hit and miss. I think same thing. Nebraska, I think, is not as bad as they showed against Indiana, but they're also, I don't think they were good today. I think Ohio State was bad.
Ohio State gave them the opportunities to win the game. Yeah. They didn't capitalize on them.
Yeah. And there's, and Nebraska, if Ohio State played 20% better, it's a 4-score game, because Nebraska almost gave them the game on the first series. And more on that in a little bit. But Michigan 9, I do agree with. I think they looked better today than they have in weeks. Iowa looked good. Minnesota, I think, I am so impressed by Brosmer over the past several weeks. Again, I know it's Maryland, but they look like the team I thought they might be earlier in the year.
Well, Maryland's done a good job of getting turnovers and stuff like that this season, so I think you have to give Brosmer his credit. You have to give those wide receivers their credit. And the play calling from, what's his first name? Greg Harbaugh, and what he was able to do. So I think give good credit to Minnesota, what they were able to do today.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin, you know, there's no, I think we saw the limitations of Braden Locke, but I still think they are ascending. Illinois, you don't take anything away from getting blown out by the number one team. Like, they've been really good this year.
At the number one team, too.
At Autzen, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it solidifies that they are not top tier, obviously. I think everybody knew that, but it just kind of solidifies it. We're not gonna drop them below Wisconsin or Iowa or Minnesota just for a loss to the number one team.
No. And then I think deservedly Ohio State drops to 4. Until 5 minutes before the show, I had Indiana and Penn State flipped. I'm rewarding Penn State for the degree of difficulty. Like, they went to Madison with a team that had allowed, I want to say, 16 points in the last 3 weeks. And they had a backup quarterback, and they score, you know, they're able to extend the lead multiple times. I think it was, 28-13 was the final. And granted, one was a pick six, but two touchdowns by Prabula. Him leading those drives when they had to change their game plan. I just really give that a lot of credit. Whereas I look at Indiana, you know, they had a backup too, but they were at home. You know, they're beating a Washington team who's struggled a lot with discipline and with turnovers. And I just reward the degree of difficulty. And then Oregon,
they both played their backup quarterbacks today too. Right. Yep. I mean, and I'm not saying Taven Jackson was bad. You know, I think Taven Jackson played a good game. But Bo Prabhula didn't really have a running game. Taven Jackson did.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo Prabhula was the running game,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
So I think that is a notch in their cap for that. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And then Oregon's obviously won.
John says, I know it was very, very painful for you both to drop OSU to 4. Even though you both have OSU 4 deep down, both of you think OSU is number one. Actually, neither of us do, John. We were talking about it before we got on here. I don't want to get into it too much because I don't want this to turn into an Ohio State show. Like, I know you guys want to hear about the Big Ten, not just Ohio State. But, like, I think a lot of, like, how teams are currently playing and Ohio State, like, I don't think they were bad against Oregon, obviously. I kept them at number 2. But coming off a bye week, you have to have a better performance against a Nebraska team who, it's not like they were making great plays. If Nebraska was out here just making great plays, that's another thing. But Ohio State does not have an offensive line. They lost one person on the offensive line, and now it's completely fallen apart. And on top of that, Will Howard is making bad decisions today, and it was feast or famine on defense all day. So this is not the Ohio State team that we saw early on in the season against Iowa and Michigan State and their easier competition, which – to me, you start to find out what a team actually is in October and November. And if this is the Ohio State team they are, they're not as good as Indiana and Penn State, just point blank.
Nope. I tweeted out today that if this is what and Zen Mikulski's probably done too now, but if he's in, and it's not just him, but if this is the team that we're gonna see, they're at best 9-3.
Yeah.
At best.
Philip asked, better play calling currently, Angel Kotelnicki or Kotelnicki. Chip Kelly? It's definitely Kotelnicki.
It by a mile.
Kotelnicki is what Chip Kelly used to be. You know, yeah. And I'm not saying Chip Kelly has regressed to this, you know, terrible level, but he's not this, you know, and I don't think he needs to be for Ohio State, this, like, innovative mind. Like, you got Kotelnicki out here putting offensive linemen out at wide receiver and motioning them in to chop block, or not chop block, to backside block other guys. Like, nobody else is doing that in college football right now. But, of course, Andy Kotelnicki is, and it's smart. What he's doing is a good idea. Now, I don't know why the defense can't figure out, oh, my gosh, they have an offensive lineman playing wide receiver. You know, maybe we don't need to put a cornerback on him out there, but, you know, that's what they do. So, you know, it's really interesting. But, yeah, Kotelnicki right now for me is the best offensive coordinator. Him and Will Stein are the two best offensive coordinators in the Big Ten right now. I would give the Indiana, and I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, I would give him a lot of credit, but I feel like Penn State and Oregon have been in a few more big games to display that. If Indiana beats Ohio State, then I'll put the Indiana offensive coordinator right up there as well. Yep. But
agreed.
Chad said earlier, he said Nebraska is better than Michigan and Minnesota. Now, Chad, I do have Nebraska up ahead of Michigan, so I think I agree with you there. I will, you know, say what Zach said, really, like 11 through 6 is just kind of, at this point, you're just kind of throwing them where you think maybe is best, but they're all so close, they could really go anywhere. I don't really have a great argument for Minnesota is better than Nebraska. I just think they're playing better right now, and I think their quarterback mm-hmm. is better. I do think Nebraska has the better overall defense than Minnesota, but I think when you get into quarterback play, Max Brosmer is much better. He is much more put together. He is a veteran. And Dylan Raiola, like I said, he should have won the game against Ohio State today, but he missed probably 2 or 3 throws to wide-open wide receivers that would have put them in much better positions.
Yeah, and Raiola has hit a bit of a freshman wall.
Yeah.
And that's not anything against him.
He's still a very good quarterback.
Yeah.
He's great. He has a great potential.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's hit that freshman wall right now.
Yeah. And I get, like, I hear you, I see you talking about the run defense for Nebraska, and you're right. Like, absolutely right. I would just push back a little bit. The offense has a lot to be desired for Nebraska. And I, like, honestly, if Minnesota and Nebraska played today, I'm probably picking Minnesota because I trust the passing game of Minnesota to exploit some things on the back end. And I think Brosmer has the receivers to do it. And I think their offensive line's starting to gel, especially at pass protection.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably think about where it is at, you know, whether it's at Minnesota or at Nebraska. But yeah, I think the passing game and the quarterback play is a big thing for me. But it's a very interesting conversation. And honestly, like I said, I couldn't give you a super strong answer where I'm going to like put my foot down and say, yes, it's absolutely this either way. So we'll look forward to when do they play? When does Nebraska?
I don't know if they do, actually. I think
do that they not game... play this year.
Nebraska does not play Minnesota.
Oh, that stinks.
They play Wisconsin and Iowa. So we'll find out. Like, we'll find out if Nebraska is better than those two teams, which I think are they're in the same realm.
Yeah. John asked about Ryan Day on the hot seat. We talked about Ryan Day earlier, John. Just go back to the beginning. It was one of the very first things we talked about. And we got John here. Asked how we're doing. Doing great, John. A little bit of a sour game for Zach and I to watch with our team. But we took our frustration out and moved him down two spots in the power rankings. So there you go.
Listen, I took my frustration out by making sure I smoked a brisket. And it was delicious.
That's the same thing Mike did after our post game. He was like, I'm going to go over to the grill. It's like, I need to get some stress out. Ahead, Zach.
I was going to say, it was the most tender brisket I've ever gotten. So I'll take that over an ugly win today.
There you go. Pretty brisket is better than ugly wins.
There we go.
All right, so I'll go through mine relatively quick. Purdue 18, they're Purdue. Sorry, Northwestern 17, they're just too inconsistent. You scored 37 on Maryland, that's great, but let's be honest, it's Maryland. Rutgers 16, this is just not the Rutgers team that we saw at the beginning of the year, and I think I have to rank them for what they are now and not what they were at the beginning. UCLA beat Rutgers, great job. Maryland, I have behind USC. That was such a close game, and I felt like USC was more impressive today than Maryland, so I put them there. Washington, they had a good game against Michigan, but really outside of that, it's been poor coaching and a lack of utilizing the talent you have on offense, which is just disappointing for Will Rogers and that wide receiver duo and Jonah Coleman, because those are really good players, and unfortunately, they just don't have the coaching around them and the players around them to utilize them better. Michigan State lost to Michigan, so I put them under them. Felt like Michigan State had opportunities to win the game, so I feel pretty good about putting them under Michigan. I put Michigan just one slot above because they beat Michigan State, but there wasn't really anything super impressive. I do think they're a better team than they were with Davis Warren and Mixon and Alex Orji, so I think that's better for them. But at the end of the day, I didn't see anything to really elevate them much higher than that for me. Nebraska, Minnesota, kind of talked about them earlier. They're kind of the same for me, but good win for Minnesota. At the end of the day, Minnesota won today. Nebraska didn't, so I just put Minnesota over them. Wisconsin, didn't drop them too much, dropped them one spot for the loss to Penn State. Probably wouldn't have dropped them at all if the game played out like this and Drew Aller was in, but the fact that the backup quarterback came in there and did well against them, dropped them one spot for that. Iowa looked impressive today. I feel like this is just a team that, with Caleb Johnson, it's either feast or famine with him. Now, they did put Brendan Sullivan in there, and I was glad they did because I think Brendan Sullivan is better with Cade McNamara. So with him in, I feel better about Iowa than I did with Cade McNamara. Illinois didn't move him because I don't think it was a bad loss losing to Oregon. Oregon blew him out, but, you know, Oregon's going to blow out basically every team in this conference if they play him. So, and then Ohio State, they did not look impressive at all today. It was a poor effort by the coaching staff. It was poor play by, I don't even know if it was poor play by the players. I think there were some players that maybe didn't play well, but overall it was just bad coaching. Bad coaching overall. The offense was not in rhythm. They did some things better, but they also did other things much worse. You don't have an offensive line in Columbus right now. And without an offensive line, you're not going to beat Penn State. So they're going to have to figure that out and do something because Penn State, although they did start a little rocky, the defense came on, and I was very impressed by that. And Bo Pribula, I felt like, did a good job of doing what he needed to do to win the game. He didn't, you know, shock me to some extent that I think that he should like start over Drew Aller now, but he played well, and to his credit, he did what he needed to do. And I think that Jalen Reed's interception, pick six, that really gave them kind of the spark they needed to finish out the game. In Indiana, I just, like, I don't know what you want to see. For people still doubting Indiana, like, I don't know what you want to see at this point. I get it, you want to see him play Ohio State, but, like, they are doing what, with a backup quarterback, they are doing what Ohio State has not been able to do consistently. And they've done it consistently. So I get it, like, Ohio State has higher recruiting rankings, but I try not to rank this on brand. I try to rank this on play on the field, and right now, Indiana has better play on the field. Really, most of the season, Indiana has had better play on the field. This is their lowest point total of the season, 31 points. That is the lowest score in point total they've had this year. Now, they did have some help with a pick six, but still, like, I don't know what you really want to see from Indiana other than a big game, and I get that. But yeah. I think outside of the big game, you can still tell this is a very good team. And then Oregon is obviously number one. So,
yeah.
Zach, you have, let's see, what are some of our differences here? You have Wisconsin at six. I have Wisconsin at seven. I feel like we've talked about that a little bit. Probably the biggest difference we have here is Iowa at eight, me having Iowa at six. Did Brendan Sullivan coming in for Cade McNamara not move you very much? Did it move me too much? What's your thoughts there?
I think it's probably more just trying to figure out how to do six, seven, and eight.
Yeah,
because I think I have them all lumped together. And I think for me, I just feel like Iowa has been super inconsistent. And so I'm like, I just don't know which one I'm going to get. And I felt like both Wisconsin and Minnesota, they seem to be trending more consistently upward. But I think I don't have a problem with Iowa six. I think they very well could be like right below Illinois. I think I was given pause by the Michigan State loss. And even with Sullivan coming in more, I don't know. I think there's certainly an argument. They beat Minnesota handily in the second half several weeks ago. So I think you can make an argument there. So I don't have a huge issue with Iowa being six over Wisconsin and Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you at this point. That kind of 6 through 11 range, maybe 6 through 12 range, it's so dicey right now. Yeah. It's really hard to put really any of them in a certain spot and say, you know, they're definitely there. I feel like the 3 or 4 of Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska is pretty well set. But then again, you have Nebraska under Michigan, and then you have Washington and Michigan State. I do have Michigan State over Washington, but there's just so much mix up there. It's really, really difficult. I think at the end of the day, I had Michigan State over Washington because although the players make more mistakes for Michigan State, I think the coaching staff is better. So it's kind of like this dichotomy of like better players for Washington, but worse coaching, better coaching, but worse players for Michigan State. And it's like, how do you put that together? It's really not a great way to do that. So, all right, let's see if there's any more questions or anything. I think we've gotten to most of the things we need to get to. John says JR has Iowa at six and he thinks Ferentz is an idiot. Go figure. Hey, he did what he should have done today. He put Brendan Sullivan in, so not as much of an idiot as I talked about last week. Did I call him an idiot last week?
You said he was overrated, which
I said he was overrated.
You got some flack for that.
That's
but
fine.
You are right. Yeah, by the
Iowa
way,
Iowa fans always hate it when I do that, but
yeah,
you know, they'll never give me credit when I say nice things about their team. Because this week I'm saying Brendan Sullivan looks really good and Kirk Ferentz did a good job. Crickets in the comments, because you know that's how fan bases get. You say one thing critical and everybody blows up on you, and then you say the good things, they're like, oh, good job. But I won't comment and say anything. Christopher says, man, I hope Oregon Indiana happens. That would be entertaining. I definitely think that would be really, really fun to see. If my Buckeyes don't make the Big Ten championship, I definitely want to see Indiana in there. That would be fun.
That would be.
It's nothing against Penn State. Like, I think Penn State and Oregon would be a fun game too. But there's just the storyline of Indiana is what's more fun.
Yeah, I think that that story, and I think Indiana can hang with Oregon. Like, I think they legit would have a shot to win that game, especially in Indianapolis. That'd be nuts.
Yeah. Question for you. Oh, whoops. Sorry. We'll get to Yankee here in a second. Michael asks, is Nebraska at 10 because of the bad showing at Indiana? The reason I ask is because three losses were to your ranking 2 through 5. Zach, do you have any thoughts on that? Because you have them at 10. I guess I can answer. I have them at 9, not that far.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. So they lost to Illinois, Ohio State, and Indiana. Oh, yeah. I was like, who is their third loss to? Right, Indiana. Yeah. Like I said, I have a hard time with 6 through 10. Like, so I think it's very possible for people to look at Nebraska almost beating Ohio State and thinking, see, they're like a top six team in the conference. I think you have to understand Ohio State looked awful today. And it wasn't because of what Nebraska was doing as much as it was, they didn't have an identity today. And so it is a bit because of what Indiana did to them, but also because I still really don't know who Nebraska is. And part of that is, I think they've, ever since the Rutgers game, they've really looked clunky. And I forget who they play next week. Who do they play next week? They play UCLA. I'm excited to see them play UCLA because I think my expectation is that it'll be a get right game. No offense to UCLA fans. And I think that will help me have a better gauge. I think they certainly could be 6, but yeah. I'm very wary to say, well, Nebraska is actually really good because they took Ohio State to the wire. They, make no mistake about it, Ohio State sucked today. Like, poor coaching, bad assignments. And honestly, if Ohio State showed any iota of motivation, they're up 21-28-0 because of that short field, because of the shanked punt, because all that, like, they just were not good. And granted, you can talk about penalties all you want, but it was just terrible execution all over. And I just can't give a lot of credit for Nebraska keeping it close.
That's a good comment there by Talk Farms. UCLA at home, finally a bowl game. Go to the Rose Bowl, Zach.
I'm gonna eat my words if Nebraska loses to UCLA. Yeah. And I'm just like, ugh. I'm seeing it coming now, and I'll be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, for me, it's really tough with Nebraska because I do think that what was his name up there? I do think Michael makes a good point about the losing to the three teams, but you also look at the 5 wins, and you have UTEP, Colorado, Northern Iowa, at Purdue, and Rutgers. You know, I guess, is Colorado the best win on that home?
I would think so.
You know, so for me, like, it's really, really hard to dictate because I definitely think you could go with the argument of, like, they've only lost the three of the top 5 teams, but then you also look at it and you say they've also only beaten 2 of the bottom 3 teams in the Big Ten right now. So mm-hmm. I don't really have a great argument for you either way, other than, like, for me, it's just kind of, I'm evaluating the play and how it's going, and Dylan Raiola looked much better at the beginning of the season. He seems to be tapering off a little bit now. The play calling at the beginning of the year was better, I felt like, and that seems to be going in a different direction now. And the defense has remained very good, but then you did have that game against Indiana, which I don't really put all that much on the defense because the offense just kept putting them in bad situations there. So I think Nebraska is probably one of the hardest teams to rank on these power rankings, and that is a good point by Michael.
Yeah, I'll just say, going back to that Colorado win, I think I didn't give it a lot of credit at the time. They are 5-2 now. They're in a fight right now with the Bearcats, but Cincinnati's 5-2 also, and so that, and that Big 12 is so hard to nail down of, like, how good, how bad is it? But That Colorado win actually does look a bit better than I thought it would this time of year.
Yeah. Yep. So good question there, Michael. I told Yankee we'd get to him. He says, Yankee, we have a World War II era passing attack and still beat little brother being Michigan State. I think that's a good assessment of the passing attack in this one. I really think the difference in that one was Alex Orji. When you have Alex Orji playing as a nice complement piece rather than, you know, the main dish of the quarterback position, I mean, he's a very, very good side order. Now, I don't think you really have an entree. I don't know why I really got into food at this point, but I'm just kind of going with it. You really don't have a super great entree on this team. I guess you could say it's Colston Loveland, but you still need somebody to deliver the ball to him. And, Zach, there were multiple times in this game where Colston Loveland was wide open and should have gotten the ball, but he didn't get the ball. And so, for me, it's like you did play well enough to beat Michigan State, and that's great. That's a huge rivalry game, and that is going to save the season for them. If they go 6-6 or 7-5, that's something they can look back on and say that was a great piece of our season, and it makes everybody feel better. Probably, honestly, made Sherrone Moore's job way more secure, considering mm-hmm. he was the first-time head coach since like 1948 or something like that. I forget what they said on the broadcast. To beat Michigan State. So yeah. Huge win for them and a huge win for Sherrone Moore and what they're able to do. So
yeah, absolutely.
Any thoughts there, Zach?
Well, it sounded like I honestly, that was my second tier game. I was really locked into Penn State, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things that shocked me, I was catching it on a commercial on the other game. It sounded like Campbell, the offensive coordinator, really emptied the playbook in this one, which I don't know if that means much, but I think there was some more creativity by Campbell in this game, which I think probably really helps the quarterback, helps the running backs. I still don't know what that means. I think the other thing is that I am optimistic about the defense and how they responded without Will Johnson. Now granted, Marsh had, you know, he had a couple of big plays, but he was fairly quiet for a good chunk of the game. And so
really it was Nate Carter that was doing most of the damage for him. Marsh had the good play there for the touchdown at the end of the game, but yeah. Nate Carter was the all-star of that team today.
Yeah. He played really well. He played really well.
John says, you guys haven't disparaged the SEC yet, waiting for it. Honestly, there were so many Big Ten games today. I did not watch much of the SEC.
Yeah.
I saw Mizzou get just absolutely throttled at one point, which I thought was funny because I saw a bunch of Alabama fans on Twitter talking about how terrible Kalen DeBoer is. And then they go out and win 34-0, which I thought was funny. Yeah. Vanderbilt did almost beat Texas. Zach, I understand a team like Vanderbilt coming up, having a good game against Bama, you know, maybe playing a couple teams close. But if you're Texas, you were argued to be the best team in the country at one point. Quinn Ewers throws two interceptions in this game. Granted, at Vanderbilt, but that's like, Vanderbilt is not a top 25 team. It's the SEC is overrated, correct?
Yeah. I have a question. Would Nebraska or Vanderbilt win against each other?
Oh, Nebraska would beat Vanderbilt for sure.
Yeah. So I feel a little bit better. That's maybe a way to make me feel better. Yeah, Vandy stinks.
Hold on. Yankee. Guys, Michigan still blows. Had to win that game. Don't worry about it. Oh, she will kill Michigan. I like how Yankee is the one like telling us to calm down. Like, guys, don't think we're that good.
Listen, Yankee, after the last 3 years, I'm not putting anything past this game, okay? I am terrified. I am terrified, and I will continue to be terrified until 3:30 p.m. or whenever that clock. It could be 59-0 Ohio State over Michigan, and I will be terrified that a meteor will strike until that clock hits zero.
That's funny. All right, back to the SEC. DRV says here, he says Vandy would beat Illinois and Nebraska to him both. Wow. I don't think Illinois. I think Nebraska would win. I could see a path of victory, you know, multiple paths of victory for Vanderbilt, I think. But I think there's more paths for Illinois, more reliable paths for Illinois than I think there is for Vanderbilt. What do you think, Zach?
So I think it's important to realize, let my thoughts catch up to my brain or to my mouth. I think Vanderbilt certainly can win, right? Like, they're Illinois and Nebraska are not world beaters. They are, I think, decent teams that have had success. I think Nebraska and Illinois are much more sound defensively. And I think that would give Vanderbilt a tough time, even with maybe, you know, some of the transfers they have. Their quarterback, I forget who the quarterback for Vanderbilt is. He's very good. And they have
Pavia, whatever.
Yeah, Pavia. And I mean, they beat Virginia Tech at home, but they beat Virginia Tech. Granted, Rutgers beat Virginia Tech too. So I'm like, I still point
back. Have you seen the Georgia State beat Vanderbilt?
Yes.
And then who beat Georgia State? It all went around to now Kennesaw State beat Liberty. Because Kennesaw State or Liberty beat somebody who beat Georgia State. So now it's like all going around that like Kennesaw State is better than Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny to me. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and I think so. Could you know when we say, you know, off the shoot, like, could Nebraska beat Vanderbilt? I think we're talking about if they played 10 games, you know, who would win more? And I think Nebraska would. And I saw someone in the comment, like, I think it was John said Nebraska allowed 56 to Indiana. Can we just acknowledge that was as much bad Nebraska as it was really good Indiana? Like, I don't think Nebraska would give up 56, and I don't think they'd only score 7 if they played 10 times. So, like, yeah. I think we just have to, I think Nebraska is better than they showed a week ago, but I don't think they are like 4 points from Ohio State either, 10 out of 10 times.
Nebraska's issues against Indiana was they continued to try and win the game the entire time, and they continued to put Dylan Raiola in bad situations, even though it obviously wasn't his day. I get what Matt Rhule was doing to an extent, like, continue to put your guy out there, have him learn. But at a certain point, with a young quarterback, like, I would understand that a little bit more if it was, like, his second year starting, or if it was his first year starting as a sophomore or junior or something like that.
Yeah.
Dylan Raiola is a young quarterback, and when you are having this many issues, to a certain extent, you kind of just – you got to either take the guy out or you got to say, look, we're going to run our offense, but we're not going to do anything, you know, crazy creative here. We're not going to do anything that puts a crazy amount of pressure on you. And Matt Rhule didn't do that. And this is what happens when you continue to go for it on fourth down and continue to pass the ball in bad situations, trying to help your quarterback learn through it. I don't think Dylan Raiola learned anything in that point. And I mean, if you ask me, like, I don't think it was bad for Dylan Raiola, but I just look at it and I'm like, you just got a 56-7 loss on there that is going to make everybody think Nebraska sucks, when in reality, it would have been a closer game if they would have just played a bit more conservative and kind of let the game play out as it was. But at the same time, I can't really knock Matt Rhule for his competitive spirit and wanting to get his guys better, because it's actually really admirable. I just think it was a tough situation because Dylan Rhule is a freshman quarterback, and it's hard to have him learn through that stuff. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back because people are talking about Vanderbilt and be like, Nebraska's not measurably better than Vandy. I just want to remind you, they lost to Georgia State. They lost to Mizzou is not great. They are not very good. They did beat Alabama. Good for them. Alabama is not nearly as good as people think they are. It's not the same Alabama team.
They beat Ball State by 10. Like, if we want to talk about, like, Nebraska losing by 49, like, let's also make sure we're talking about beating Ball State at home by 10. Guys, this is the thing that I hate, is that I understand why SEC fans get caught up in the SEC bias because you're a fan of that conference and stuff like that. But the Big Ten just hates each other so much that we get caught up in the SEC bias at times too. But like, just like, don't fall for it. Don't fall for the SEC bias of like, oh, well, they played SEC teams good. They still lost to Mizzou, like you said, and they still lost to Georgia State, and they still only beat Ball State by 10 at home. So like, I mean, they... I just look at it and I'm like, they're not this, you know, juggernaut of the SEC where they're like a top five or top six team that would beat, you know, a number eight or a number nine team in the Big Ten, no problem, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I just think, I think the thing is, I think people will rightly look at the Big Ten and say, wow, like Ohio State struggled. Maybe they're not as good. Penn State, you know, what are they going to do without Drew Aller? Whereas I think they look at the SEC and they're just like, well, Georgia's awesome. And Texas is awesome. You know, Vanderbilt only lost by 3 to Texas. So Vanderbilt must be awesome. It's like, no, Texas has struggled the past several weeks. Georgia has not been very good. Like, I'm sorry. Like Carson Beck threw 3 picks in their win against Texas. Their defense was really good. But this, I think what we're trying, maybe what we're trying to say, because well,
hold on one second. I want to push back on that a little bit. Georgia's defense, yes, they did look good against Texas, but Vanderbilt also sacked Quinn Ewers 4 times today. So like, I don't know how much credit we give now to Georgia for getting a lot of pressure and sacking the quarterback for Texas a lot, because going into the game, we thought, oh, this is the best offensive line in all of college football. Yeah. Well, guess what? The best offensive line in all of college football doesn't give up 4 sacks to any team, let alone Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the point is that the SEC, they're not as strong at the top. And I think they are just a general weaker conference than they've been in years. And now, could Georgia and Alabama in particular turn it on because of the talent they have and the playoff? Absolutely. But I think anyone saying, well, Vanderbilt's clearly a top 25 team and would clearly beat Nebraska. Like, I think... You know, I'm seeing in the chat that our points are weak. I'm like, listen, I have not seen anything that Vanderbilt's done and been like, oh, well, they would definitely do well in the Big Ten. Like, and for that matter, most of the SEC, like Kentucky's not good. Like, I just don't see it. So, like, I think, could Vanderbilt go on a tear? Sure. Could Kentucky go on a tear? Sure, because they do have the talent. I think that the point that we're trying to make is that the SEC is not head and shoulders above. And I'd argue that I think the Big Ten would do quite well against the SEC this year.
I would too. And, you know, John says you're having a hard time reconciling the fact that Vanderbilt's actually done some good things this year. I don't think we are. I think we're also just pointing out they've also done bad things. So, like, I've given Vanderbilt their credit. They beat Alabama, and you know, they gave Texas a good game. There's really not all that much they've done that's been impressive, outside of they beat Virginia Tech at home in overtime, but Rutgers also beat Virginia Tech. So like, are we gonna call that great of a thing? Now I get that was a different different Rutgers team than what we're seeing today, but still, like, I don't know. Like, I don't see the mountain of good that Vanderbilt has done other than beating Alabama. And for whatever reason, the name of Alabama just gives up so much SEC bias, even though Nick Saban isn't there anymore, that it makes everybody think, well, you must be a good team if you beat Alabama. No, doesn't necessarily mean that. Kalen DeBoer struggled with a lot of teams last year when he was at Washington, and he's doing the same thing this year where he's struggling with a lot of teams. And you know, the SEC is just better than the Pac-12 was last year. The Pac-12 had a lot of good teams in it, but they also had some bad teams that Kalen DeBoer struggled with. And now Kalen DeBoer's in the SEC, so it's not so much, oh, Washington's struggling with bad teams. Yeah. It's Alabama is losing to good teams now because of that narrative. So And I get, you know, there's some people saying we're Big Ten bias. Yeah, that's kind of the show. I try to have Big Ten bias to counteract the SEC bias, so that way we can recognize the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, do I think everything I'm saying is 100% accurate? I think it's accurate, but the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle of the Big Ten bias that's out there with that I'm talking about and the SEC bias that we see everywhere that everybody's just accepting as fact because ESPN and other people say it.
Yeah. And I think I'll just state one more thing and then we can actually get back to power rankings. I think for Big Ten fans, we almost have to overstate it because the immediate thought is, well, no, the SEC is better. And so even the reason why I asked the question, could Nebraska beat Vandy, is I'm trying to give context. I think I am, you know, and I'll just say this even for me, I look at Ohio State's win today against Nebraska and I'm like, that was terrible. They deserve to drop in the polls. And I looked at the Texas Vanderbilt win and I'm like, like Texas escaped, good for them. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like Nebraska is honestly a made field goal away from probably being ranked in the top 25.
Who is, you said?
Nebraska. Like if they beat Illinois, like they're probably in the top 25.
Yeah.
And so it's a very similar comparison. Both are 5-3. Now, granted, Nebraska doesn't have a win over Alabama, but like the point is it's very easy for us to get down on the Big Ten and just kind of be ho-hum because, well, the SEC, it just means more. And I am contending that would Nebraska beat Vanderbilt 10 out of 10 times? No, I think Nebraska would give Vanderbilt a run for their money more often than not. And I think that's important to the conversation because if Texas is also struggling, it kind of also signals, hey, the big teams, the big dogs that we were expecting to be in this conversation, maybe there's a struggle across the board, which allows other teams to rise up like in Indiana or like, I'm trying to think who I saw today, like Texas A&M today who beat LSU. Like I think there's some
fun LSU lost that there. Game. That was more LSU being bad than it was Texas A&M being good in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean they were good. They did what they had to do to win the game. I'm not saying they aren't good. And you know, John, I feel like I'm picking on you a little bit. I'm not trying to pick on you. Talking about how Georgia comes down to the fact that about 3 or 4 years ago Georgia was crushing everyone in the Big Ten. This is the other thing. Like, why does 3 or 4 years ago matter? Why aren't we talking about this year? Why aren't we talking about what happened this year? Like, I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, Georgia won, and, you know, we can talk about the Ohio State game. I think there was probably a targeting call in there that would have, you know, swayed things a bit. But they did win the game, so I'm not going to whine and complain about it. They won the game. They did what they had to do. But still, like, they 3 or 4 years ago. I don't know. Like, to me, I don't take that into account like other people tend to do. To where you say, like, oh, well, Georgia was better 3 or 4 years ago, so they must be better now. Okay, let's see what they've done this season.
Yeah.
And what they did this season, yes, they blew out Clemson. Good job. I think Clemson's a little bit overrated. I think the ACC, not a good conference. But, you know, that's kind of what it comes down to, is Georgia had a good win over Clemson, but they did lose to Alabama, and they did come back in that game a little bit, but I don't know. I just look at this season, and to me, it's hard to look at the full picture, but that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I want to be careful.
Yankee saying, JR, I'm concerned about how much we agree these days. Well, Yankee, we could be in trouble if that happens. It is what it is.
I just want to make a point to, you know, and I appreciate the thought. Like, a lot of what we're talking about is subjective. And I think it does come down to how we see it. All I'm saying is, like, don't get sucked into this narrative that because Vanderbilt's in the SEC and they beat an overrated Alabama team, they're automatically better. Like that's the point. So if that's unsupported, which I don't think it is, it's Georgia State. Like, again, they lost to Georgia State. Like, right. That's, if you want objective analysis, they lost to Georgia State. They suck. Okay.
Yeah, Georgia State has more wins over the SEC than they do in their own conference.
Yeah. So like, I get that. Like you can't do transitive property, but it is a data point that you have to look at. And so just like, it's going to be a data point that, you know, as the season goes on, the certain teams do have more talent. And so like, it's an evolving conversation. So.
Yeah. Yep. LFG says JR CFB is diluted in 24. So in a way I agree with you guys, 24 SEC is parity ridden, but so is 24 Big Ten. Yeah. In that respect, both are similar than different. And honestly, if we just came to the conclusion that the Big Ten, the SEC are the top two conferences, yeah, and both have really good teams, but they also have some teams that probably a little bit overrated, but you have to put somebody in the top 25. I could get down with that.
Yeah.
But this whole idea that, you know, Vanderbilt is better than half of the Big Ten, I don't even think that's Big Ten bias. I can't get on board with that personally. I'm not saying you said that, LFG. I'm just saying that's kind of the consensus out there. I think there's too many holes in the argument to say that. And that's really what I try to fight against. I'm not necessarily trying to fight and say the Big Ten is the best conference. I'm just trying to expose SEC bias and make sure people understand that the SEC is not as good as everybody thinks they are. So we did have a comment. I apologize. We got into talking about the SEC, so we get going and we miss comments sometimes. Owen does it all. He says, let's go. First time catching the show live. As always, watch on replay. Keep alive. Always watch on replay. Keep up the good work. We appreciate it, Owen. We're glad you're able to be here. We're going to get off here soon because I have to go to sleep. But Sky U-Pod, our guys are here. He says, JR, does Max Brosmer finally get an A grade this week? Great show, as always, guys. I was actually thinking through it earlier. He probably will get an A grade. At the very worst, an A minus. But comparing him to other guys, he'll probably get an A grade. Who knows? I might put him the number one in the graphic. I try to put different guys in there. Because sometimes it gets tedious when it's just Dylan Gabriel and Curtis Rourke or Luke Altmaier.
He was very good today. He was very good.
He had a fantastic day. Yeah. Fantastic day. And honestly, like, the wide receivers were fantastic too. Just all around a great, great day for Minnesota. So, all right, Zach, we went longer than we thought, but, you know, you guys talking about the SEC and we're going to do that. So any additional thoughts before we get out of here?
The SEC sucks. That's my last thought.
I will be tweeting directly after this. Georgia State, please go like and retweet. Georgia State has more wins over the SEC than they do in their own conference of the Sun Belt. Please go like and share when I tweet it later. Also, I wanted to bring this up. So our guy Boatwagon on Twitter has doing a tournament of the best Big Ten podcasts. We kind of got thrown in last minute. Was it you, Zach, or was it somebody else that mentioned the Big Ten Huddle?
I told them that they needed to put this show on there.
There we go. That's a narrative I can get with. So he put together this Big Ten tournament bracket for the best Big Ten podcasts. And thankfully, we got in the bracket that did not include the Eyes on Big guys. So we've dodged them a little bit. Well, we went against Podcast of Champions, which I have listened to their stuff. They're pretty good. We went against them, and the Eyes on Big guys were on the other side of the bracket, and they went against the Solid Verbal podcast, which Boatwagon said he just put in kind of last minute because they needed one more spot. And the Solid Verbal podcast won against Eyes on Big by one vote, and now it is us, the Big Ten Huddle, and the Solid Verbal podcast and the championship. Yeah. Here's the thing. Solid Verbal podcast is not actually a Big Ten podcast. So we cannot let the Solid Verbal win. Great podcast. I like those guys. I think they do a good job. But we cannot let them win a contest for the best Big Ten podcast. So Boatwagon said he is going to tweet it out on Tuesday. I will share it on Big Ten Huddle, Twitter site, all that stuff. But please make sure you vote for the Big Ten Huddle. Help us actually have a Big Ten podcast win the Big Ten podcast tournament. That would be a little embarrassing if Solid Verbal won it, considering they are not actually a Big Ten podcast. Zach, you have any thoughts on that?
I need revenge because they crushed Big Ten Football Talk and I was winning with 2 hours left and then I got slaughtered. by the solid verbal herd. And
well, guess what? You have another chance now because you're on two right. Big Ten podcasts. Congratulations.
Let's do it.
Here we go. This is the type of commitment we need. Yankee says, I'm going to create 1,000 fake accounts and vote for you guys 1,000 times.
I love it. That's what Thank you, Yankee.
That is the type of Big Ten Huddle listener commitment that we need. Thank you, Yankee. Mm-hmm. You and I really are thinking more and more every single day. It's kind of scary. All right, Zach. We appreciate everybody being here. Zach, you have anything else? You want to tell people anything about Big Ten football talk before we get out of here?
We'll post on Thursday, probably a lot about Penn State, Ohio State.
Great episode Thursday, by the way. You did a great job.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it's fun. So,
all right. Good job. Penn State guy says, hope to God Allard didn't tear his ACL. Well, Philip, I guess that's your answer there to quarterback controversy in Penn State. They don't want Allard out. So appreciate you all being here. Sorry we missed you there at the end, the Penn State guy, but hope you go back and watch the entire thing. We will be back again tomorrow night. We'll actually talk more in depth about each and every game tomorrow night and give you some analysis there. And we'll probably, who knows, we might talk a little bit about how the SEC is trash. You guys seem to enjoy that. We'll try to do that. So we appreciate it, everybody. Have a good one.
See ya.